Well, amen. He gave himself. He laid his life down. No one could have taken it. And so praise the Lord for that. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. We've been in a series on the life of Joshua for some time now. We studied Joshua the man, and then we got into Joshua, the book of Joshua. And we are all the way to the very end. And only thing left to do is kill him off, right? I mean, he goes the ways of the world, and he dies, and leaves the world a better place because he served the Lord. But Joshua chapter 24, we're going to be reading verse 15 down to verse 21. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me, and we'll read this. His last message to Israel is chapter 24. His last message to Israel. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. For the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for what we've already experienced just being in church tonight. Thank you for your presence in this place. I pray that you would just once again, Lord God, just empower the preaching of your word and open up our hearts and our minds to receive that spiritual help that each and every one of us need individually and what we need collectively. Pray that you'd empower the preaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So Joshua's last message is the entire 24th chapter of Joshua. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 13, and Joshua gives them a history lesson on all that God has done. Now that's important. We should never lose sight of our history as United States of America. We should never lose sight of our history as Christians. From the very beginning of the New Testament church age, where Jesus came and did exactly as we heard in song, laid his life down, he gave himself to establish New Testament Christianity. And we can't lose sight of the history of Christianity, the history of this great nation, on and on and on, because it's important. As you look at history, you'll realize all that God has done. Have you looked back at your own history? 66 years old, on my way to be 67 years old. That's history. And I look back at all that God has done in my life. How can you not praise him, want to serve him, when you realize he gave you a life? Yeah. Then he gave you a new life. Amen. Took away death, then he took away a second death. Yeah. And he's given to us everlasting eternal life. And he's watched over us. He's met our needs. He's blessed us in so many ways. That's your history. Don't lose sight of that. Because that's what you're going to need to look to in order to continue to serve the Lord and accomplish all that God has you on this earth to accomplish. Yeah. So Joshua did just that. He gave them a history lesson on all that God had done. And he reminded them they need to be mindful of these things. And with that, in verse 14, now therefore, after the history lesson, basically says, now serve the Lord. With the history that you have, with all that you know that God has done, use that to motivate you to continue to serve the Lord until you die, until your life on this earth is over. Now, this is counsel from one of God's all-time great servants. That's counsel for them, but it's counsel for us. God preserved it for us so we might read it, we might study it, and we might receive the very same counsel, because as they needed it there in the promised land, to continue on what God had for them to do in establishing that, we need it in our own lives. I believe we're in the last generation. I believe this is the end times. We're seeing it unfold before our very eyes. And what this world needs more than anything else is the witness of Christ. And that's for you and I to continue. And so then we find that in verse 15, an invitation is given. After the message, after reminding them to look at the history and be mindful of the history, he gives them an invitation to choose. See, some people get upset because we have invitations at the church. Because you're just trying to pressure people into making decisions. It's not necessarily to apply pressure, but rather an opportunity to make a right choice that'll turn your life around. Yeah. An invitation. Without an invitation to choose, you have a free will. An invitation means you have choices. You have to choose the right, make the right choice. You have options. But there's only one good option. There's one best option, and that's to choose God's will, to choose Him. So He gives them an invitation to choose. It's an opportunity. God reveals, that's His part. When you come to church, no one knows really what's going on inside each one. We don't. People do things, and you think, I didn't see that coming. Crazy things. You realize that was inside of that person the whole time. I didn't see that. You never know what's going on inside of people. You never know what they're capable of doing and what they've capable of already done. You don't know. But God does. When you come into the church house, you come into a place where God has ordained it, that He would be in the midst. He would work through the preaching. That's what He chose during this New Testament church age, to work through the preaching of His word. God does His part. He gets you here. He reveals to you what you have need to have revealed to you. Then it's your part to make a choice. It's your part to respond. If you don't have an invitation, you don't have an opportunity to respond. You have to have an invitation to give people the opportunity. It's not to apply pressure, it's to open a door of opportunity. And then he says, and get into the message we have tonight, verse 15, the end of 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Invitation's given. The message is given. The message was, remember, don't forget your history. That's verse 13, that's what it was. That was the message. Now he says, Be mindful of that. I'm giving an invitation. I want you to choose. You will have a choice. God's not going to force you. You will make a choice. If you don't do anything, you made a choice not to do anything. If you don't respond, it's because you made a choice not to respond. If God talked to you, spoke to you, convicted you, and wanted you to respond, you just told Almighty God no. So then he says, as for me. Joshua would use his influence to help them to make the right choices. Wow. If you looked at, and we'll see that in just a minute, exactly what they said was exactly what Joshua wanted them to say, wanted them to see. Their response was according exactly to the very same words that Joshua had just given them. So he used his influence to help them to make the right choice. Can I tell you, we all have influences in our lives. And what you allow to influence you will determine your decisions. It will determine what kind of choices you have. You allow them to influence you. You allow the world to influence you. They're going to use their influence to get you to turn away from God to do what the devil wants you to do. But you still have a free will and you have a choice to make. When you allow the truth to influence you, then you're more apt to make right choices. Those that are absent from the truth will be more apt to believe a lie. And if you believe a lie, you're going to make wrong choices. So you need to make sure you're being influenced by the truth. Thus, praise the Lord, the church. And godly influences in your life. Those people that God has brought into your life to help you. Your parents, Christian friends. Somebody that's going to help you to tell you what you need to hear. Not what you want to hear necessarily, but what you need to hear. And allow them to influence you. Yeah. So we all have those that we have allowed and continue to allow to influence us. The question I want to ask you now is, who are you influencing? And what kind of influence do you have on others? Do you understand God's will for them and God's will for your life? And you're using your influence, as Joshua did here, to influence them to make the right decision, the decision that God wanted them to make. That he's using his influence to help them make right decisions. Every born-again believer needs to use their influence to help others to make right decisions. So who are we influencing? And the question, follow-up question would be, who could you be influencing? Who should you be influencing? But you're not. Joshua would use his influence. Another great servant of God later on, we find that because of Joshua's influence, no doubt this king follow Joshua's influence to say, I'm going to do the very same thing, and I'm going to influence those that God has me and has given me an opportunity to influence. Look at this in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 8. Let me just read it to you. You know the story. Elijah says this, 18:21. And Elijah said unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, if you truly believe you have a choice, if you believe that Baal is a more powerful God than our God, then follow him. Truth of it is, he's saying, you're going to make the choice. I don't see how you could choose Baal, but if you want to choose Baal, then choose Baal. Stop living up in double life? Stop playing games with Christianity? Stop coming across like you want to serve God and yet you don't? I'm all for so-called Baptist churches taking off the name Baptist if they're not Baptist. Stop playing the game. Stop advertising something that you're not. Baptists have a history of preaching the Word of God, holding to the fundamentals of the faith. If you're not preaching the Word, if you're not holding to the fundamentals of the faith, then take Baptist off and call it whatever you want to call it, the creek, the river, the lake, whatever you want to do. But if you're not Baptist, then don't advertise it. Amen. If you think Baal be God, then serve him. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word until he showed them the power of God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is our God. The Lord, he is the God." Whether you see it or not, it's true. Choose to serve him. Then use your influence to help others to make the right decisions and to serve him. So the people said, repeated what he had told them. And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt." Who just told you that? Yeah. Remember that. "From house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight." That's exactly what Joshua just told them, to remember that. "He's preserved us in all the way wherein we went." Yeah, that's part of your history. "And among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us." No one else has been able to conquer the land of Canaan. "But God drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore," all these things that they were just reminded of, "therefore, we will also, because of what you've said and now your commitment to serve the Lord, your testimony to us, your witness to us, your influence to us, so we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." Joshua's witness did exactly what he had hoped for. Joshua's witness did exactly what he had prayed for. It's what he had in mind when he gave the invitation. Yeah. We give invitations at the church. I preach message. That's what I want God to use, the message applied. And I pray that God would use it and people would respond. We preach for a response. We preach to help. We preach for God to reveal certain things and certain truths. And when God reveals them to you, I try to keep people's names and faces out of my mind because I don't want to ever preach to individuals. I want to preach back to God what he's given to me. But I want God to use it. I can imagine how it would apply in certain lives. I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord, that person needs to respond to that message." And we give an invitation. And a lot of times I'm up here and I'm praying, "Lord, help that person to respond." I know. They've been watching me the whole time I've been up here preaching. They've been on the edge of their seat. They're holding on to their pews. I can see the conviction all over it. I'm like, "Lord, help that person to make the decision. I've done all I can do." Are you doing all you can do? See, when you bring somebody to church, you know if they're lost or not. And you invited that lost person to church. And you know that you see them. You can see the conviction. You can see them holding on to their pews. Are you praying during the invitation? Are you praying? Are you preparing yourself to leave? Are you preparing yourself and you have in your mind exactly what's after services, where you're going to go eat, what you're going to do here, what you're going to do? The most important time in the services is when people are going to make decisions that will change their lives and change their eternity. We have to be aware of the importance and of the invitation. It's not a time to get up and go to the bathroom. It's not a time to put on your jacket. It's not a time to do this or that. It's a time for believers to realize the importance of the invitation and start praying, especially if you brought somebody. You've invited somebody to come that you say, I know they're saved, but they've been out of church, and I've been inviting them to come to church because I know if they just come to the church, they'll experience what I've experienced, and they can be helped by it. So I want to, and you bring them to the church, but in the invitation, what are you doing?
Right. Yep.
Can I invite you to come to the altar for them? Do you know how scary it is for a visitor when they're under conviction to step out in front of a congregation of people they don't know and walk an aisle? You know what will help them? You know something that you can do if God, I don't want you to come flock at the altar, just flock. But if you have somebody that you know needs to respond to a message that you've had, that they've heard, especially if you brought that individual, do more, bring them to praise the Lord for that. But then pray for them during the invitation. And if need be, get up and move yourself to the altar and make this a place of prayer for them and pray for them that they will come. And more than likely, it'll take the fear away from them being the first one down the aisle, and they might just follow your lead down the aisle. And by following your lead, doing exactly what you ought to be praying that they would do, using your influence, however you can use your influence, to get them to make the decision that God wants them to make. An invitation's important. Joshua said, I've given you all the history. I've given you an invitation. Now let me do more than that. Let me give you my personal testimony. As far as me and my house, we're going to do what I'm asking you to do. We're going to serve the Lord. Every servant of the Lord has used their influence to influence others to help them to make the right decisions. If you think Baal is more powerful than our God, go ahead, go serve him. But let me tell you, he's not. And I'm going to show you he's not by just asking God to give us something here to reveal your power and your presence and answering my prayer that the people would see the truth of God. And he called down fire from and the people saw that and they followed his lead and said, you're right. Baal is not a God, but our God is a God and we will serve him. That's happening today. It's happening today. We need more Elijahs. We need more Joshuas. We need more Christs. Did he not use his influence to influence others to make right decisions? Did the apostles not use their influence to influence others to make the right decisions? Why aren't we? And they said, we will also. Going forward, an invitation no doubt can help take away the fear out of others going forward. But then, did you see what Joshua said next? No, you can't. You come down the altar. You told me to come down. You invited me to make a decision. I come down the altar. I made the decision, and now you're saying, sorry, nope, didn't work. That's what the Bible says. Do you ever wonder why? And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord. Because he's a holy God and you're not holy. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He's not going to forgive you your sins. He's not going to save you if you don't really mean what you've just said. That's the key. If you were just repeating what I wanted you to say, it's only words. And it can never be words only. That's what Joshua's telling them. You said exactly what I wanted you to say. I don't know if it's sincere or not, but you do. Did you just repeat after me to say what I wanted you to say? I can't save you. Was it genuine? Were your words truly from the heart? Are they your words? Or are you just repeating? You heard the message. And you might know exactly what God wants you to, how he wants you to respond by the message. And you might come forward. But if it's just words, it's just words. Words can be deceiving. Words like, I love you. It's what we all want to hear from our loved ones. But are they just words? It's easy to say. Sometimes we repeat it because we know that's what they want to hear, and so, no, I love you, yeah. But is that true? Do you know whether it's true or not? We should be able to prove it to ourselves. If you want to be honest with your words. Yeah, that's what Jesus said over. Let me just read this to you. John chapter 14, let me just tell you what he said about it. In John 14, verse 23, he said this. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So he said, if you love me, keep my sayings. Because if it's just words, you won't keep my sayings. And that reveals to me that you don't really love me. It's just words. But if you truly do love me, then you can prove it to yourself by what you're doing with your love for me. You're keeping my commandments. You're attending my church. You're reading my Bible. You're growing your faith. You're witnessing. That's how we can prove it to ourselves. Words like, I'm sorry. Are those just words? Are you truly remorseful? Are you asking God, Lord, I never want to do that again. I'm sorry. I'm repenting of my sin. Repentance is a change of mind leading to a change of life, which is revealing true, genuine sorrow for sin. I forgive you. Really? And then you continue with the grudge. You continue as if you didn't say, I forgive you. True forgiveness is not forgetting. You cannot forget. It's whatever you've heard. It's in your mind. It's there. It's stored in there. But true, genuine forgiveness says, I'm going to put it out of my mind and not bring it back up again. I'm going to, from this point that I've forgiven you, going forward with the trying to put that behind me, never to bring it back up again. If you continue to bring it back up again, you never forgave. You can choose to put things out of your mind. You can choose what you have on your mind and how you think. And forgiveness means you got to put it out of your mind. And move forward as if it wasn't there. Yeah, eventually that'll get lost in the subconscious mind. It might come up every now and then in your own mind, but I'm not gonna give it any kind of help to come into my conscious life. I'm gonna keep it in that subconscious. Thank you. Really? Are you thankful? I mean it. Those could just be words. But do you really mean it when you say, I mean it? Kids, do your parents mean it when they say, I mean it? Or is it just words? And you know it's just words, and so you're really not thinking that anything to it. Yeah. I promise. How many words? How many words? Yeah. He says, if it's just words, it's not genuine. It's not real. And if it's only words, you cannot. You cannot. So let's go back and we'll close. He says, you cannot. And then he says, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, and he will turn and do you hurt and consume you, after that he hath done you good. That's what's going to happen if you try to just make it words and it's not genuine repentance and a genuine commitment to serving God. Now they chose. So again, we find, and the Bible says, and the people said unto Joshua, nay. Now, it's more than words. It comes from my heart. It's a commitment. Yeah. We will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, that's all I know. I can't read your mind. I don't know. I got to take your word for it. And so he says, and Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves. Wow. All of us are witnesses against ourselves concerning what we say. Don't say it if it's not true. Don't lie. Be honest. Mean what you say. And say what you mean. Commit to it. And he says, and Joshua said to the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen. God's given you free will, but he will hold you accountable to that free will. Ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Their words were going to be backed up with action. If any continue on in sin, then you cannot fellowship with God. You cannot serve the Lord with his blessings. So, in closing, and we know what happens to Israel, are your words truly yours? Or are they borrowed? And if they're borrowed, ready to take them back to whoever you borrowed them from? Wow. Yeah. Counsel from Joshua. Counsel we need today. Yeah. Let's make sure how that we understand the importance of the invitation. Use your influence to help people to make the right choices and make sure that you speak the truth when you speak. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Counsel from Joshua. It's good for them. It's good for us. It's from the Lord. Will we accept it? Will we reply it, apply it? One thing's for certain, God knows. And he will work in response to what he knows. Yeah. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the true counsel that we've received here from Joshua and how you worked through this great servant of the faith to give Israel the best chance possible to do the right thing and to truly serve their God. Pray that you'd help us likewise. Bless in the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.